Today's Mishnah in Masechet Ohalot is Perek Tet Vav, Mishnah Tet. Okay, so now we were talking about the Golel yesterday, and what part of the pole that you were using, or the long beam that you were using, if it was planned to be cut off, what part of it would be Matame? We had a Machlokes about whether until it's cut, the whole thing is Tame. What about if we take a chavis, shimaleya mashkim torim, umukefet samit basil. Now this, what we saw yesterday was a fascinating thing, that the golel could be something which is metame yukemes, but it itself wouldn't be tame. So, I mean, that's weird. Either it is the golel or it's not, right? But that would mean the way to look at the golel is that it is something that allows access, so to speak, to the tumas mace. So it's as if it lets you into the area of the tumah, but it itself is not the thing that's being metame you. Now, by the same token, we could have a very strange situation. Imagine a case where you've got a chavis. This chavis is not mekabel tumah from the outside. It's made out of cheres, and it's got a tzomit pasil on it, and it's filled with wine, right? And the wine is tahar. It's mekabel tzomit pasil. Now you take the chavis, and you make it a marker for a grape. You put it on top of a grave, and then it becomes a golel kever. So if somebody touches this chavis, they're going to become tome for shivas yomi, because it's as if they have direct access to the tumas mace. But the chavis itself will not be tome, and the wine will remain tar. That's crazy. So you've got something that could be metame someone tumas shiva, and it itself remains completely tar. That is basically an extension of the same din that we had before. Once we're already talking about this din, about the interrelationship of the possibility of Kabbalah's tumah, of the thing itself, to its ability to be maybe tumah as a golel, let's think about a live animal. So suppose you make a live animal, a behemoth, a golel, a kever, and you tie it up right to this spot, and this was poor Long John's mule who will forever miss his master. Now the question is, touching that mule, will it make you tame? So the din is that hanogeaba tame tuma shiva, even though it's impossible for an animal to be makabel tuma. However, remember Rabbi Meir's shita that we've had many times before in the dinim of tuma and bichlal. I mean, with that, this is a shita of Rabbi Meir in terms of mechitzas as well, that kol sheyesh bo ruach chayim eno mitame mishum golel. That's because his normal halacha, this is as from the Gemara in Sukkah we were talking about, can you use an animal's wall of a Sukkah? So according to Rabbi Meir, if a mechitza stands by emergent qualities and not through any physical process that can be defined without emergence, then it doesn't exist as far as the halacha is concerned. So since there is no way for this animal to be standing up here, I mean, how the heck is an animal standing up? Well, what do you mean, how is it standing up? It's alive. Alive? What does alive mean? Please define alive to me by giving me some simple physical parameters of what's alive. Duh. Okay. So now, according to Rabbi Meir, if that's the case, this thing is just standing by magic. And that is called Emet Baruach, and it's not considered to be there at all. So he says that's not a mechitza, and therefore it's also not a golel, because what you're looking at is imaginary. Wow, what an amazing idea. Okay, continues the next Mishnah. Perek Tet Vav, Mishnah Yud. Now, we have another concept which relates very much to this, and that's called Tuma Bechiburi. So that means as long as you are touching, even a person is in direct contact, or a kli is in direct contact with a mace, then anything that touches him is Tume as if it's touching the mace directly, and it doesn't go down one level. Because tumas bechiburim, there's no attenuation of the tumah. Now, that's very similar to this idea of the golel being an access to the mace instead of it being itself tumah. And that's why we bring this up over here. So now, hanogea b'meit, somebody who is touching a mate at the same time that he is touching kalim. Or if he's being ma'ahil al hamet, even if he's making an ohel, meaning he's got his hand over the mate, and he's touching with his other hand, he's touching kalim. So then those kelim are tameim as an avatuma, because since he touches them at the same time that he brings the avi avota tuma, so memela, and it doesn't matter whether he's actually touching the mate or whether he's being ma'il over the mate, these things become tame as if they themselves touch the mate. And if kelim touch the mate, as we had way back in the beginning of the Masechet, they become an avatuma. But suppose he is being metame by holding a hand over the mate, and he's also holding a hand over kelim. So now, basically, at that point, or the other way around, maybe he's even touching the mate, but he's only being magil al hakelim. So the halacha over there is that the kelim remain tahar. Why? Because even though you, as the person, is considered to be tumah mechaburim, that was not said legabe the dinim of tumas ohel. It's only said bechiburim, meaning through negiyah, so through maga. So even though lamaisa you are considered to be mechubur and you yourself are tameh, that tumah bechiburim does not extend to being able to make an ohel, as if the tumah bechiburim is a mace. That was never said in the din of chiburim. So because of that, by making an ohel over it, what do you mean making an ohel over it? Only if the mace is over it would it be able to radiate down. Yes, but I'm a chuber. No, that's not said legabe tumas ohel or mahil. That's the point. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you can't transmit an existing tuma, right? In other words, you can't create the ohel of a new ohel amaze by being the ohel amaze, but you can certainly spread tuma from a mace that's in the same ohel, even if that ohel is a creation of your hands, because your hands can be mile as long as they're big enough to be a tefach. So if you are a Mr. Watermelon, there would be no problem at all holding one hand over one thing and one hand over another thing, and then you'd be able to be metame them through the ohel of the mace that your other hand is over. So im yesh biyado poteach tefach, if you've got a big hand, then they're considered to be under the same ohel as the mace. And that's because, remember also, this is taking on another issue that we had before, and that is shipu'e ohalim. All of these things are incredible concepts that we've managed to make part of our repertoire over here. So make sure you never forget them and you keep them all written down and so on. I think Jeff was planning on sending out a whole list of these munachim. So we've got the idea of tumah b'chiburim here, and we've got the idea of golel, and we have the idea over here of the concept of shipu'e ohalim. Remember that shipu'e ohalim meant that if you have a tent, and a tent as it gets to the end, obviously being as it's a diagonal, it loses the height of the tefach. And nonetheless, anything that's under that area, even though that particular area is not a tefach, it doesn't matter because it's tamei because of shipu'e ohalim. Now, that din of shipu'e ohalim showed up in a lot of places, including the Mishnah that spoke about a korah that had a poteach tefach in one area, and then it was shaved away in another area, whether it can transmit the tumah in the other area, and it can. So if that's the case, same thing is true over here. You could say, well, wait a minute. I mean, his hand may have a poteach tefach, but his wrist doesn't have a poteach tefach. Doesn't matter. Maybe Mr. Watermelon did, but I mean, just generally normal people would not have a poteach tefach. So if you hold your hand over the mate and your other hand over the kli, you're going to get into a place where you don't have a poteach tefach. It doesn't matter because we could still use that concept of shipu'e olim, just like the Korah. And there's another case where you could do this. Let's say you have two houses. This is fascinating. Two completely different houses. I mean, the houses obviously always means rooms. I mean, it doesn't have to literally be a different house. But you have two rooms, okay? Each one of them contains a chatzi zayis. The reason we'd like it to talk about it as a house is because we don't have the question of the poteach tefach directly between the rooms, which we would normally have. And then anyway, the tumor would go from one to the other because the doorway is a poteach tefach. So in this case, if there's a door between them, then obviously what one to us, two completely separate homes. So there'd be no way for the tumah to come from one to the other. You, however, are standing between those two homes. Now, in each one of those homes, there's a chatzi zayas min hameis. Okay, chatzi zayas not matame at all, and therefore there should be no problem. But suppose standing between the houses, you put one end in one house and one end in the other house. So in that case, im yesh biyadav poteach tefach, may be et atumah, because according to the Mandiyama that says before, that you can be mitzaref the chatzi zesim as long as they're in the same ohel. So then the person obviously is also now going to be mekabel tuma because he's mitzarev these ohalim. This is all according to the chachomim that we had way before back in the third parak, who holds that if you have shnei chatzoi zesim, the same ohel, then they're mitzuraf. But if his hands are not that big, eno meviyatatum. So that brings us to our kapitan. And hadran alach sagos.
Bli neder.